there could be a point in 2 years where we bring in something drastic and we just ruin footy for a couple of years and we're going to take it out again.
I know Whitey wasn't overly wrapped with the Thursday night footy, but I think it's the best time slot in footy. The
beauty about our club is we rock up to training every day, and training's so fun. Everyone wants to train.
The overwhelming feeling is unsatisfaction, and purely because we're so close to winning the whole thing.
It's an opposition coach who presents every single week, but in the end, we play our brand of football the same. I think they're just finding work for someone.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Great to have you with us on the Breakfast Club on a Wednesday morning. And the Inner Sanctum is back for 2019. We had Big Max Gorn in yesterday. He's part of the team, as is Isaac Smith from the Hawks. We love him. He's a constant on the Inner Sanctum. He's back for 2019. Good morning to you, Isaac.
Morning, huh?
Ready for a new season, Isaac?
I am, actually. Really looking forward to it. Someone said Adelaide Oval sold out a month ago. So.
I did hear that.
Pretty excited. It's my favourite ground to play at, actually, other than the MCG on grand final day.
What is it like for those that haven't been out there in the cauldron itself with 50,000 heaving Adelaide fans? What is it like? How different is it to other venues around the nation?
Well, it's very quiet when Hawthorn kick a goal, but it's extremely loud when you run out, and the atmosphere, if it's a close game, is probably the best in the competition. I think that big dome roof obviously bounces a fair bit of atmosphere off it, and they seem to do it very well now, Adelaide, with the football and being in the city, and it's just a great experience.
Well, it's great to have footy back. It's great to have the Adelaide Oval back, because I'm with you. It's an unbelievable venue to go to and watch footy, let alone what it would be like to play. The Adelaide Crows, are you expecting much from them? A lot of people talking about the Crows and the rebound factor from what was a disappointing year last year. You pretty wary?
Yeah, pretty wary. They've probably got stars on every line, but I was talking to a couple of mates last night about footy, and I've literally got no idea how it's going to end up this year. I know last year West Coast were tipped to win the Wooden Spoon, yes, and Collingwood were tipped to be bottom four. So, I have as much idea as the next bloke, I think.
What about from the Hawthorn's perspective? What are you expecting of Hawthorn? There's been a few changes, but there's been some acquisitions which could make a bit of a difference.
Yeah, no, the guys coming in have been really good. I think our expectation every year is to try and finish top four and see what happens from there. So we think we're as in a good a position as any year, and especially the blokes coming in. Hopefully Wingard, Scrimshaw, Scully make a bit of a difference.
The Chad. What's the dialogue been like?
When he walked in, he just said, just call
I'm
me
the Chad.
Chad.
Yeah, I love that.
So, all right.
Yeah, that'll do. Chad, just call me that. I'm interested to know, as obviously a Hawthorn fan as well, but has the dialogue shifted over the years, or especially this year, or is it still the same messaging, still the same sort of focus that you have every season, or does it just tweak a little bit?
It tweaks ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Obviously, depending on what happens the previous year, and the expectations are still the same the next year. Probably through 12, 13, 14, 15, it was a little bit different. The group was a little bit older. It had been through a bit more, losing grand finals, losing prelims and stuff like that. And we're probably, I think we're the oldest list in the comp, they're saying now, but I reckon our core group's a lot younger. Mm. So, yeah, the messaging does change a little bit.
Yeah, because you've sort of got those 10-plus year players, and then you've got that sort of around 3 or 4 year players, don't you? But a lot under that as well.
Yeah, and then when you've got Shawnee Burgoyne on the list, it sort of cooks your age demographic.
Just skews everything. It's the outlier, we call him, the outlier.
I mean, there's so many players we want to ask you about because it is going to be very different. So rather than talk about the obvious for the moment, there's a few of the younger players that, you know, whether it be Warple or Cousins or some of these, we don't know a lot about, but seem to have really elevated themselves through the summer to be, you know, hopefully big players for you this year.
Yeah, I think the expectation is that they'll play and play well. Warple's only 12 months into the system, but obviously built like a pretty big man child, and I think he had the most clearances in the JLT. And I know everyone doesn't play the whole JLT, but that's still a fair accomplishment for a 19-year-old. And then James Cousins, he's improved. He's been on the list now 3 years, and he's showing a lot, which is exciting. And then folks like Ollie Henrahan, Dylan Moore in the forward line are also showing a fair bit. Connor Nash, Connor Glass are coming through, the two Irishmen. So we're pretty excited about the younger guys that have come through.
So has there been sort of light bulb moments with those guys, or is it just something that has happened sort of behind the scenes that we haven't really known about? They've come through Box Hill and they've just flourished, I guess, through opportunity, because you've got to find at least one of them to to lift with Tom Mitchell not there.
Yeah, I think we've got to find probably more than one as well, Whitey. If you know, you're going to have that energy and enthusiasm in the team, you need to get three or four of those blokes in. But yeah, people talk about Hawthorn and who's going to come through, but we won VFL Grand Final last year, and that was with all the guys that were probably under 21 years of age as well. So I certainly probably didn't expect them to win it last year, at the start of last year going into the season, but the way they finished off the season was really exciting, and they've certainly pushed a lot of blokes over the summer.
We had a chat half over breakfast yesterday about the Hawks, and just in regards to the fact that everyone wants to write them off, but they finished top four last year.
They did.
And Box Hill won the premiership. Why should we be writing them off? I mean, it can't just be because of Tom Mitchell. And that's sort of what the discussion was over our very healthy breakfast.
It was a very healthy breakfast. No, well, we couldn't put a finger on it.
No.
Why they would want to do that, other than it's the Sydney Swans conversation. They've been up for so long, people are keen to see them out. Just to give somebody else a go, almost, to get them out so they don't hold the spot.
But they're a very different team, though. So it doesn't necessarily mean that their time's over.
No, absolutely not. If you look at it rationally and logically, there's no reason why there should be a dramatic fall from the Hawks, in my opinion anyway. And you look at the inclusions that they've gotten, we've mentioned a few of those names already, but the development of a couple too, and Isaac's touched on them, it's a very different dynamic, but it's nonetheless doesn't mean it's going to be any less effective dynamic. And we know that we've got a man in charge there at the Hawks that knows what he's doing. Alistair Clarkson is a bit
wizard.
The wizard, as the Duke calls him. Like, he's got a fair handle on this business and this caper and how to get the best out of his stock, Alistair Clarkson. So you'd be a fool, I reckon, to write them off too quickly.
Yeah. Well, let's cut to the chase and talk about Tom Scully, because Luke Bruce was on our show last week and told us a story of some match simulation where he came off the halfback flank and just nailed a pass. And everyone's sort of going, oh, this is all right. What have been your impressions of Tom initially and then maybe more specifically in the last week or so?
Yeah, I think when we got Tom first in, it was a bit of just wait and see and not 100% sure how he's tracking, but certainly over the last month, and I think he talked to the club website maybe yesterday as well, saying that he's been moving pretty well and doing a fair bit of training, but from a personal point of view, I've been playing on him on the wing the last month, so it's been a disaster. Now I know how blokes felt at training on that and playing on me, because he just runs. So
runs more than you.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Oh, wow.
When I'm playing on him.
Right.
Don't know if he runs and kicks goals, but
there it is.
We'll wait and see.
There it is.
No, but he's tracking really well, and I think the hope is that he'll be playing games in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
So what's the hold up then? If he's playing on you in match simulation, that he's not playing even earlier than that? Is it just the conditioning?
Well, yeah, I think all he does is the 20 minutes of match simulation we do, right, and I do 2 hours of training before that. So
that's why he's fresh and runs off here.
I'm hearing excuses here. I'm hearing excuses. I want to ask you about Tom Mitchell's impact this year. We know he's not going to be on the field, but how much of an impact can he have on some of those young guys trying to break into that midfield?
Yeah, I think that's where he's probably his biggest impact will be felt, especially Warple, Cousins. There's 2 or 3 other younger guys that could possibly roll through there as well. Harry Jones, even the impact he had on Daniel Howe last year, I think will be massive. But I think probably the biggest thing is that he probably needs to get away at certain times during the year as well. So have impact with the guys, be involved when you're there, be on. But if you've got an injury like that, to be around the club every day becomes a bit of a drag on just on yourself. And I'm sure mentally it's pretty tough.
Grant Birchall, did you hurt a calf, I read yesterday?
Yeah, I think it was just a slight calf. More to do with conditioning. His knee's been playing up for, you'd probably know better than me, about 18 months.
3 years, almost 2.5 years.
Yeah, so his knee's good, so he'd sort of just really ramped up his training to get back into training. And when you've sort of been in and out of the program for 18 months, I think we always see that blokes in recoveries like that always get little soft tissue injuries. So I think he'll be all good.
He'll be a handy addition to the roster as well.
He's a little while.
He's an okay player. Isn't he?
Just back to that Tom Mitchell thing. Give us an insight into when the Brownlow medalist, one of the best players in the competition, goes down at training, and it was as serious as it was, What was it like? Where were you at the time? And what was it like as a leader of the football club to try and, do you have to get the players up? Does everyone just go into like funeral mode, or what happens?
Well, I think the guys that were around him probably went into funeral mode, but I was at the other end of the ground, so I had no idea what happened. Blokes were running down pretty somber, and the worst thing was they put up this tarp.
The green sheet.
Oh, the green screen.
Like it looked like he was at Flemington.
Boom.
So I was thinking, what's going on here? But
that must be bad.
Once the boys sort of figured it all out and realised he was going to be okay, the mood was pretty good, and I think we're all pretty aware that you play contact sport and things like that happen. So I think everyone was more thinking just the well-being of Tom. It had nothing to do with is he going to be playing next week or, you know, in 12 months' time. It was more, how's Tom going?
Yeah, so you don't sit around. I'm just trying to get a visual about what it's like. You don't sit around lunch and go, oh, geez, you know,
we're gone.
We've just lost our best player for the year. We're stuffed. I mean, what is the conversation? It's just purely about himself.
Yeah, it's purely about him and how is he going. And I think we're probably been in a fortunate position at Hawthorn that Clarko's always taken the approach, you just lose someone, you replace them. And we were probably in the position where we lost the best player in the competition to Sydney Swans. That wasn't through injury, that was through free agency. And we were as good or even better the next year. So, we don't really think about injuries too much and worry about them. I think Clarko's built a really good culture around that.
Hard to argue with that. It's at 12-8 if you just joined us. Isaac Smith is from the Hawks, of course, a champ from the Hawks, and he's getting ready to go to Adelaide on Saturday to take on the Adelaide Crows for their season opener in round one.
And you didn't notice there's a change to Isaac, a disposition. A maturity.
I want you to tell me more about that.
The glow.
That'll change.
Give it a year. Give it a year. 12-8, back with more.
Exclusive access. Behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
I feel like I'm past that now, and I can just focus primarily on football and my role for the team, so it's not really in the back of my mind anymore. Obviously, I still have to monitor it, but I'm not thinking about it on game day.
Jagger O'Meara there from the Hawks, getting ready for a big 2019. Reckons he's right to go, wants to play every game. There's been a few issues through the journey, through the Gold Coast, of course, his first couple at the Hawks as well, but ready to go. And he sets the standard, doesn't he, Jagger, out there on the track? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know, Half. You're the one that...
You're the one who's out there with him. I hope you can get some sort of...
Well, I can't speak about Jagger. My wife, has said that I'm not allowed to speak about Jagger because I'm extremely biased.
Which way?
That there's a lot of man love going on there.
Right. I put myself in that category as well, I would think.
Didn't you famously say once on this program that there's a bit of woman love coming from her to Jager as well?
We've probably got a no Jager policy talking at home. Yeah.
Wasn't that Ryan Burton?
Oh, that was Ryan Burton. It was too.
Was that Birdo as well?
Yeah. It was Birdo, yeah.
Well, they're both good looking roosters.
That's right.
Let's be honest.
Yes. Only one's still there, though.
Yeah, there is.
At the moment?
Yeah.
Jager's impact, with Tom going out, and we talked about some of the other players and Warple being one of those going through the middle of the ground. Jager's requirements this year to step up are going to be quite significant, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think Jager and Liam Shields have been the two over summer that have been driving the inside stuff and doing really well. So I think Jager's probably had his, and I know people say this about summers, but he's probably had his best summer in 4 years because he's been able to actually fully train and attack pre-season. So hopefully it's an exciting season for him. And I think the whole industry probably just hopes that he can play a full season being fully fit because he's got some fair raps on him. So it'd be great to see him take on the comp.
And why is he glowing? Why is there a maturity, Adam?
Well, there's a glistening ring on his finger.
Nearly blinding me here.
Yes. Diamonds.
You got diamonds. Splashing diamonds.
No, not me. Just a bit of white gold.
White gold.
It's nice though, isn't it?
It's a lovely ring.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a lucky girl, Candace.
Some nuptials. Off-season nuptials. My understanding is a bit of a festival, a three-day extravaganza. Is that correct?
Yeah, a bit of a three-day bender. So had a good night the night before, as you always do. A great wedding, and then my 30th the next day to top it off. So
oh, well played.
I think we nearly did 100 slabs of beer on the wedding day.
That a boy.
100 slabs?
Yeah.
Well, you only do it once. You might as well do it properly.
It was a lot of beer. I had 90 slabs and had to go and get an extra 15.
call for the reinforcements.
In fairness, both my family and Candace's family don't mind a sip.
Clearly.
Sounds about right.
There's only 40 people at the wedding. It's 2.5 slabs each.
The best part about that story is Haystay sitting there going, oh, yeah, that's all right. Not that impressive.
That's Friday night. Yeah.
Haystay does 2 slabs in a session. Drink-wise.
More now.
Absolutely. Scoreboard drink-wise. Yes.
Well, that's coming in. That's a bit of a Snicko top situation for the games from this weekend, we're led to believe. But we were talking to you late last year about the impact of the trials of the 666, and you were all for it. You were, as a winger, you were going, how good is this? This is happy days. Are you still in the same frame of mind with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the pre-season's shown nothing else, but you're going to see a lot more one-on-one contests and see forwards kicking goals and defenders having to defend their man and midfielders running straight out of the centre bounce and whacking it inside 50. From everything I've heard, the majority of people seem pretty happy about it.
Do you think everyone's kept their powder dry a little bit in terms of how they're going to actually execute their game plans moving forward throughout the JLT?
Well, I reckon there's 2 theories to it. One, everyone's keeping things behind closed doors, or two, there's only been 2 games to sample it, and I'm not sure if coaches are 100% sure on how it's all going to play out. So I think the footy you see in round 1 might be completely different to the footy you see in round 8.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. What about the captaincy situation? That you're obviously in line to potentially be captain of Hawthorn, and
you've been wanting to ask this all summer, haven't you?
We talked about it in here, and it was actually Mark Stevens that came on and said, we think that Ben Stratton's going to be captain of Hawthorn. And I know my initial reaction was, I'm not sure about that.
You would add a flutter on it as well.
No. Stevo's very rarely right. So, yeah, no.
Brutal.
No, but brutal. Can you take us through the process? And because there was probably 4 or 5 of you that weren't necessarily in vulnerable positions, but you put up your hand, you want to be captain, and then it becomes this contest. What was it like?
I don't think it was really a contest. I think Strato was the best bloke for the job, and where he's at with the group and the influence that he can have. So I'm not, yeah. Internally, it wasn't really a contest. I don't know what it looked like externally.
Well, how does it happen? To tell what's the process?
The process was that the players vote, but then also different staff around the organisation then have discussions about it, and players have discussions about it. Like, it was a very open system, and I think we all came to the conclusion that Strats was the best bloke.
Because I imagine from your point of view, you would have liked to have been captain, but at the same point, it wasn't the most important thing in the world.
No, I don't think, and I don't think at Hawthorn it has ever been the most important thing in the world. I think anyone would love the opportunity to captain their club, but also I think Strato was probably in the best position to do it, and I'm personally pumped that he is captain, and he's one of my best mates at the club, and I think he'll be an awesome leader, and I love how he goes about his footy, and he's pretty unsung, and no one really talks about him, and he's a little bit left of centre and stuff like that, and the AFL world's now starting to see who he really is, which is pretty exciting, and I think it's pretty exciting for Strato and pretty exciting for our footy club as well.
I can't wait to see some of his press conferences. He's such a relaxed character. Yeah. So down to earth.
There won't be many
people
words.
People are just going to absolutely love him, I reckon.
Yeah, he's looking forward to seeing Strats in front of the mic a bit through the season.
Because it goes back, but it goes back to this whole thing, is not meant too many people know him. You know, we've interviewed him a number of times, and he doesn't give a lot away. But why is he going to be such a great captain? Apart from what we all see on the field, what do we see off the field that will make him a good captain?
He is just such a relaxed human that cares deeply about the individuals around him. So he's a pretty emotional guy, Strats. He doesn't give much away, but when he gets you on a good one-on-one and he gets to know players on a sort of different level to just that superficial level that you can get to know players on, and he has a great relationship with Clarko and all the other coaches as well. So I've never met a person that doesn't like Strato. Dad always says to me, oh, if we're the same age, you know, I'd try and make him my best mate. Like.
that's a big rap.
It's a good rap, isn't it?
Dad loves his beers, Noble Boys, as well. He snacks them.
He sends him a few slabs.
And speaking of captaincy, before we let you go, the impact Sam Mitchell has come back to the club from the West Coast Eagles. What's his impact been like?
Mitch has come back and started kicking footies at blokes' heads at training again, so it's been awesome. He's been really good. I think the best thing about Mitch is he's so strong on what we need to do as a midfield, because he's taking control of the midfield group, and he just knows what he's doing. He just brings that headstrong type of approach, and he's pretty confident in his abilities. He was when he was playing, and he is when he's coaching. So, it's awesome to have him back, actually.
Well, hopefully it rubs off this week and you head to Adelaide Saturday afternoon. Hawks fans, 4:35 is the time. Check your local guide for more details on that. We're looking forward to a big season from you on the field, but certainly in here as well through the Inner Sanctum. Isaac, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Good luck this weekend, half.
Go the Mighty Blues and the Hawks this weekend.
He's wearing two colours at the moment.
Hawks double.
He's done every Hawks MC gig, I reckon, this summer.
I spent a lot of time with Isaac recently. A lot of time.
Love it.
We'll spend more time with him through the year on the Inner Sanctum. Let's get to an update from the tab.